Please take your Bibles and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I feel like my mic needs to go up just a touch, just a little bit. It's really good to be here with all of you today. Honestly, at one point yesterday, I didn't know if I'd be here or not. I was determined that the ice wasn't going to slow me down yesterday. So I hooked my trailer up to my van, and me and the boys, with Grant following behind, went to pick up a couple of things that we needed. And on the way back home, had the trailer behind the van with a couch on it, and turned onto Copeland Road, and my windshield wipers actually weren't working too well at the time, so I had some water on the windshield, and I made the comment, something like, "My windshield's terrible." And right about that time, I hit a patch of ice on Copeland Road, and I could tell that I had completely lost control of that van. I said, "Hold on, boys." And so we started going, and my van started going sideways, and I knew I couldn't get on the brake real hard, so I just tapped it a little bit. And when I did, boom, I swung back around the other way, and the trailer came around. Bam, hit the side of the trailer. I hit the side of the van. So I start steering it back, and I say, "All right, I'm going to tap the brake just so I tap, barely tap it." And here comes the trailer around the other side. Bam, hits the other side of the van. I said, "I'm not touching that brake anymore." So I work the steering wheel back that way, and then I go back that way. And then finally, I can start to feel like I'm getting control of it again. I get it straightened out. And Clay sat next to me. He goes, "Whew." And then Grant was behind us in the truck, and I saw a call come in from Grant. And he said something like, "Everything okay up there?" So about that time, I didn't know if we were going to be hitting a ditch, a tree, or flipping that van completely over. But now our 12-passenger van has a little bit more character than it did before yesterday. So you can notice the dent, particularly in the back passenger quarter. Thankfully, by the grace of God, we're here today. And I knew at that moment, we are delaying service tomorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 6 through 18. 16 through 18 this morning. That'll be our text. This is the Word of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This is the word of the living God. May He bless His word to our hearts this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I just come to You now in the name of Jesus, Your Son. I'm grateful, Lord, that we are here gathered as the people of God in the house of God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. We are the church of the living God. Father, thank You for the opportunity to assemble and to do so safely today. I pray for congregations around this country who have gathered and perhaps are currently meeting. Lord, may You bless the assembly of the saints in every location in this nation. And Father, as Your word goes forth, I pray that it will, Lord, accomplish Your purpose, that it will run swiftly and be glorified. And I pray, Father God, for our leaders in this nation. I pray for their salvation. And God, that they would rule justly in the fear of God. And we do that, Lord, praying that we, as Your people, may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. And Lord, now I ask You just to please bless this passage as I seek to preach it to Your people. Give us ears to hear and hearts, Lord, full of worship of You and thankfulness to who You are, for who You are and what You've done through Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen. So I'm going to share with you a message entitled, "We Do Not Lose Heart," from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. As I begin, I'd like to share with you a hypothetical. This could never happen in our country since we live here in the United States of America. And the Constitution and the First Amendment gives us the right to assemble peaceably as a people for whatever reason. But just imagine if a church was gathered on a Sunday morning in, let's say, in a metropolitan area in a city, and some protesters decided that they were going to protest that day in that building among those people, and they barged into the church and began to scream and to shout, and one of the people who was there with them was a activist, journalist, word couldn't come to mind, who was there and was videoing and interviewing even the pastor on that day to ask him what he thought about all of these people that had barged into that building where they were peaceably assembled to worship Jesus Christ, and it was completely disrupted. Just imagine if something like that happened or could happen in the United States many, many years from now, I'm sure, before we could ever get to a place like that. You all know that I'm speaking tongue in cheek because that actually happened last Sunday, last Lord's Day in St. Paul at City's Church, where Jonathan Parnell is the pastor. And so that is the situation there in Minneapolis, in that area, where it would come to that degree of strain in the society that a group of protesters would enter into a church and cause such a disruption as that. The passage like we are viewing today is one that should help the church amid suffering, amid difficulty. If you've ever suffered as a Christian and have come across this passage that we are studying today, or remembered it, or was reminded of it by someone, then you have no doubt found heart in such a passage as we have before us today. And as we look at this passage, it seems like there are many parallel realities here. There are parallel realities in that there is the reality of the physical life in which we currently dwell in, but there is also this invisible life, this invisible reality that we know is there, and we know it by faith. So as we look at this passage today, I really want to walk through this and give you six realities that are found in this passage. And it's going to bounce back and forth between the temporary and the eternal. And we're going to follow the Apostle Paul as he lays this out before us today. In verse 16, you notice it begins by saying, "Therefore we do not lose heart." If you'll look back at verse 1 of chapter 4, he has already spoken of this not losing heart, because in verse 1 he says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." At the beginning, the mercy of God in placing them into the ministry and salvation through Christ, the mercy found in Jesus Christ, causes them to not lose heart in ministry. Here in verse 16, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart." Therefore is there for a reason, as I hope you have heard before. And if you think about it, verses 7 through 15, I shared with you last week God's excellent design. And that is that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And that through these earthen vessels, look at verse 15, through these earthen vessels, grace is spreading through many so that there is thanksgiving that abounds to the glory of God. Even though these vessels are temporary, the treasure within those vessels is not. And as that treasure is proclaimed, God is getting glory for himself through the preaching of the gospel as his people give thanks to him for the salvation we have in Christ. And then Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart." Because of what God is doing, we do not. And then he gives an even though in verse 16. Verse 16, and this is where the realities begin, the various realities. Even though, he says, "Our outward man is perishing, Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I still feel like my mic's a little bit low. If you could go up with it a little bit. Help me out a little bit this morning. So even though our outward man is perishing, that brings us to the first one. So the first of the six realities is this. Our outward man is perishing. Our outward man is perishing. And it's not surprising. He's already labeled us as earthen vessels. And then if you look at chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, a tent is not a permanent structure, it's a temporary structure. So you have earthen vessels, these clay pots, you have tents that are temporary structures, and here he says in verse 16, even though our outward man is perishing. And that's exactly what is happening to these bodies of ours. The outward man that that our souls dwell in. Our bodies are something like seeds, aren't they? We've seen this in 1 Corinthians 15. We see it in John chapter 12, if you want to write this reference down, 24 through 26. Where Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Our bodies are not to be preserved, ultimately, but to be given in service to the Lord. And that means, at times, that we are sacrificially giving ourselves away physically. George Whitfield said, it's better to wear out than to rust out. Calvin said, the decay is visible and the renovation is invisible, as it alludes to what we are about to see. So our outward man is perishing. It is coming to an end. But number two, we see this. Our inward man is being renewed. The word renewed is a word that just means to make new, to change into something new and different. You know, you might think of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everyone who is in Christ is a new what? Creation. All right, so we are being made new and by the Lord. In verse 16, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. If you go back to chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, here he wrote something that's somewhat similar, but here the scripture says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's this glory to glory, this transformation that is gradually taking place within the believer, while at the same time in this passage we see the inward man is being renewed, re-upped every day, day by day, no doubt by the Spirit of God working the truth of God within us. The outward man perishes, the inward man is being renewed. If you think about it, you know, our current physical bodies are not becoming more like our glorified body right now, are they? The physical body is not. It's decaying, it's perishing. And if the Lord tarries in the next 100 years, probably everyone in this room is going to be dead physically, going to be asleep in Christ. So our physical bodies are perishing, but at the same time, the inward man is not perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day to fit us for the glorious body that we will have when Jesus Christ returns one day at the resurrection when we receive that body. And this is so true about through Scripture. Think about our memory verse from last week, Psalm 23:3. What was the first part of it? He restores my... You ever thought about how often Jesus restores your soul? Have you ever gotten to a place where you're like, I just don't know if I can do it anymore? You know what happens when you keep going and you do it again and again? It's because Jesus Christ restores your soul. It's because He's renewing us and strengthening us. Psalm 51:10. I have a few references for you if you're interested. Psalm 51:10. The psalmist said, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 103, verse 5. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3, verse 10, and we have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Renewal happens day by day as the Spirit of God indwells us, and we rightly view our physical circumstances and we know what's happening in the invisible. You see, all of this is passive. Be renewed. It's passive. It's something that happens to us. We cannot muster it ourselves, but God renews us day by day. Now, this makes me think of, and I'll give you one more verse, and we're going on to the next one. John 4, verse 14. Jesus said to the woman at the well, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Renewed day by day from glory to glory. And it is the fulfillment of what Jesus promised in John 4, verse 14, where we have in us this fountain of water that is ultimately springing up into everlasting life. Point number three is this. Our affliction is light and momentary and working. We see this in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working, you see all of that right there, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The third reality is that our affliction is light and momentary and working. Now, this is something for the Apostle Paul to say. I could see a group of Americans like us saying, our affliction is light and momentary. Would you agree? But the Apostle Paul said that? I want to give you a list, a rundown here. There's other places we could go, but if you flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Let's read through this and then realize that this man who wrote chapter 11 is the same one who wrote chapter 4. He's the same one who said, our affliction is light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? 2 Corinthians 11, 23. I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil. In sleeplessness often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In coldness and nakedness. Besides the other things that comes to upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Quite a list, isn't it? But yet, he says, our light affliction. As we turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we think about Cities Church and the affliction that they endured last week. And whatever affliction or suffering, that you may currently be going through or facing, we can, if the Apostle Paul can say it is light and momentary, then can we not say that as well about ours? That it is a light and momentary affliction. In comparison with eternity, it is momentary. In comparison with the exceeding weight of glory, it is light. And God is, through all of these things, working glory for us. There's a poem by Corrie ten Boom that I've often quoted, and I'd like to quote again for you today, that puts into perspective, into beautiful words, what God does with our affliction. The poem goes something like this. It says, "My life is like a weaving between my God and me. I do not choose the colors, but He works steadily. Sometimes He weaves sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the looms are silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reasons why. The dark threads are as needful in the skillful weaver's hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned." You see, that is a summation of what we are seeing here, that God takes affliction, the dark threads, and they are needed in the weaving of our lives to bring about the result that God desires for us as believers. And yours may be different than mine, and mine than yours, but God is working even through our affliction. Let's go to point number 4, and it is this: our glory is exceeding and eternal in weight. It is exceeding and eternal in weight. Now again, this is found in verse 17, the latter half of it, where he says, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So here's what you do. If I walked over to the whiteboard, I could write over here the word light, L-I-G-H-T, versus exceeding. One is light, one is exceeding. We could put here momentary versus eternal. You see, there's the light versus the exceeding. There's the momentary versus the eternal. And as the people of God, we live in this reality to know that this is our current circumstance and our life is but a vapor. It's just a smoke upon this earth that's going to disappear. But eternity will not. And our affliction and difficulty that we face is just brief in comparison. I want to give you another passage to pair with this one. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18. You kind of need to know both of these. Okay? Especially when you're suffering. Verse 17 says that, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Romans 8, verse 18, and I will read it for you. Romans 8, 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." All right? Sufferings here are not worthy to compare with the glory that we have before us one day. Romans 8, verse 18. Glory. That's not something real easy to define, is it? Glory. But we have it coming. We have glory coming for the people of God. It's a glory that we receive from God through Christ. Let me give you a couple of verses. Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." That passage just says that those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. You ever looked up at the sun and thought, boy, that's bright? The people of God will be bright like the firmament one day. Matthew chapter 13, 41 through 43. "The Son of Man will send out His angels and will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." 2 Timothy 2:12, "If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him." Matthew 19, verse 29, "And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for My name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life." Church, there is a great, great glory. There is a great, great reward for the people of God. And as we view our lives today, we view them knowing that there are realities of a temporal, physical, but there is an eternal and a spiritual that will last for all of eternity. Point number 5. Our sight is not on the temporary things that are seen. Our sight's not on the temporary things that are seen. We'll go ahead and bring in the last one too. Our sight is on the eternal things that are not seen. You see, if you look at chapter 5, verse 7, what do we, according to this verse, what do we walk by? What was that? Chapter 5, verse 7. What do we walk by? Faith, not by sight, not by what we see. This is the modus operandi, the MO for the people of God. This is how we operate. This is standard operating procedure for the people of God. That we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. We, as point number 5 says, our sight is not on the temporary things that are seen. Our sight is on the eternal things that are not seen. What do we ever see this happen? I'd like to give you again some references. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Of Abraham, it says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Abraham, has he seen that city? He had not seen it, but he was looking forward to it. Hebrews 11, 13, and 14. "These all died in faith, although they had not received the things that were promised, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland." Hebrews 11, verse 27. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." You see, the standard operating procedure for the people of God throughout history is that we walk by faith. We live as a people who see what is invisible. We see a heavenly kingdom. We see a Savior at the right hand of the Father. We see the Father. We see the Spirit of God indwelling us. How do we see all of these things? How do we see eternity? We see all of these things by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You ask Elisha's servant in 2 Kings chapter 6, when he went out that day, all he saw surrounding the city were the Syrian armies. And he was scared out of his mind. But then Elisha came along and he prayed. He prayed that the Lord would open his eyes so that he could see. And his eyes were open, and behold, upon those mountains all around them were chariots of fire from heaven who were surrounding them. His eyes were open so that he could see, but yet we today know by the Word of God and hear by the truth of God and believe because of the Word of God these things that are invisible. So, I hope you realize these realities for what they are. I hope that we do. We're going to suffer. We are going to face hardship. Some of us do that on a daily basis now. But this passage can guide us through these as we understand and know these realities that are true for us. Parallel realities. And in the midst of it all, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. The reason Jesus did that is so that these realities, is that they can be true for us. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, then you do not know this spiritual reality, this eternity that is for the beloved of the Lord. Today, if you'll repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, you can be saved from your sins and be right with God. I invite you to believe in Him, and for you believers already, trust in the Word of the Lord. Father God, I thank You for Your Word today, and I pray You'd please bless it. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture, and God, we need it. I pray that it would become a part of the fiber of our being as we live, Lord, not as those who walk by sight, but as we live as those who walk by faith. And may each person here, Lord, I pray, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today for forgiveness of sins and salvation before a holy God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.